some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Yeah. 8:34 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. Mark Howard along with Blaine Bishop. Kevin off, our producer Jonathan Schaefer getting it done behind the glass. And let's bring in our man, Dennis Dodd from CBSSports.com. Dennis, good morning.
Good morning, you guys. How are you?
We're great. Hope you're enjoying life in Destin, where they're having the SEC meetings. Dennis, first of all, how much of a game changer do you think it's going to be if the NCAA allows athletes to control their likeness and image and get money from that?
I don't think it's that hard. I do think this new working group they formed will do something. It may not be for a while, but look, the NCAA is basically in business now to avoid liability. I've come to that conclusion. So they formed this committee because they've been found guilty twice of violating Sherman antitrust, twice in the last 5 years. They're trying to defend a lawsuit that would uncap compensation with no limits for athletes. So they're trying to come down on this name, image, and likeness thing, which basically started the whole thing with the O'Bannon suit. Remember, his face and name were on the front of that basketball game. Here's what I think they can do really easy. And this, I don't know if this lessens the pressure, but it pushes the ball down the road. You get a licensing agent to represent all the football players. You strike a deal with EA Sports. Here's what the cover of that game is worth to us. You pay us that money, put it in escrow now, till everybody graduates. You get your portion when your eligibility is up. The school doesn't pay you any money. The NCAA isn't involved, and there's no Title IX implication. Does that keep people from suing the NCAA? I don't know, but it's a little bit more fair.
SEC is also undergoing a comprehensive evaluation of its officiating. What do you think they're going to find?
I was surprised by that. And that came out, I think, Tuesday. I think it's more proactive than anything else because the potential for the SEC officials are very, very good. I was a guest official at the Georgia Spring game, and it really opened my eyes. But I think anything they can do to avoid that gotcha moment, that embarrassing moment when social media just takes over the narrative in a game and you're embarrassed as a conference. It happened twice last year for the SEC, and this kind of, I think, pushed it. The Devin White situation, the linebacker of LSU against Mississippi State, where he was flagged for targeting Nick Fitzgerald, the quarterback at Mississippi State, and then missed the next week's game against Alabama. Well, people, LSU fans went nuts. Some national media went nuts. James Carville went on game day with a shirt disparaging Drake Sankey in French. And I think they felt like they lost control of what happened. It was, in fact, the correct call, at least according to the SEC. And then the 7 overtime game, A&M and LSU, where Twitter took over in the overtime. There were about 7 consecutive calls in the 7 overtime game that I think went against LSU, who eventually lost. But they were getting the names of officials wrong. And I'm talking about, Joe Sixpack and his couch disparaging a conference and really not knowing what they're talking about. So I think anything they can do to put the conference officials in a better light. Real quick, I did a story after that Georgia game. There's a guy, but there's an official who told me he nets $8,000 a year being an SEC official. They're contract workers. I don't know about you, but my reputation is worth more than $8,000, where I could have my reputation and my standing ruined just by one questionable call.
We're speaking to Dennis Dodd, of course, who covers college football for CBSSports.com.
Well, Dennis, I guess, where are they in the SEC? I don't know if some of the stadiums, or if all of them, will be selling, alcohol at the games. Has that been passed at all stadiums, or is that a school-by-school basis?
Blaine, funny you should ask. We are hours away of finding that out. The president supposedly are voting this morning on that, and it's basically a ban the SEC has had against that. Schools have gotten around it by selling alcohol in private areas and club seats. That goes on everywhere. But the sale of alcohol at college events has become so prevalent that it's really not worth tapping into that A revenue. And there really is a realistic advantage to it. It does. It's been proven. It does, you know, help curb binge drinking. You know, you get limited to 2 drinks per visit. You have to show your ID, all that. But as you know, as everyone knows, there are implications in the SEC, both religious and social and everything else, that, you know, they might not do it. And the news is not that they would allow it. The news is that the SEC would be the last major conference to allow it. It's going to happen here about noon. We'll find out which way it goes.
Wow. Has it been an awkward moment, I guess, with Coach Cal? I know we're talking about basketball and football, but with his son in the transfer portal.
Yeah.
That was interesting. Did he need that open roster spot?
I don't know the details on that. He spoke for a few minutes a couple of days ago out in the hall, and I got there late. And I did not see him talk about it, nor did I see a reaction to it in people that wrote. And I don't know if it may have even happened after that. I'm not sure. But, yeah, I don't have any details. How do you tell your son, hey, you're not going to get much playing time this season? Okay, see you, Dad.
Oh, okay. And Mom said you'll be sleeping on the couch, too, by the way.
Right.
Now, I know you talked a little bit about the rules. I know you talked about the likeness and everything about the players' board. Are there any rule changes or reviews that you think should be pertinent to this upcoming season that they're discussing that you think will change?
Well, they've already changed. This is getting down into the weeds, but they're trying to eliminate the blindside block.
Oh.
Any blindside block now, I think the term is, with forcible impact to the flag. We looked at a tape last night. Seashaw, the official supervisor, showed us a tape of what they want, and they call it, scraping paint, where you just brush the guy instead of catching him not looking the other way. It has the same impact. You throw him off his balance. So essentially, the blindside block has been eliminated in college football. It's going to be a penalty. There's a lot of talk in the NFL about eliminating the Oklahoma drill, and I talked to a lot of coaches here this week about it. No matter what you think about the Oklahoma drill, it's one of the foundations of football. I went to the Kansas spring game, and they did it like a Roman gladiator thing on the 50-yard line before the game, like, let's kick this sucker off. And we all know what it is. It was invented by Bud Wilkinson of Oklahoma. But I think it's because of that trauma and the concern about injuries and hitting and everything else, I think it's going to go the way of the kickoff, which looks like it's going to be eliminated here in a few years. So it's those type of things.
Dennis, what's your sense of what's going on at Alabama after getting routed by Clemson in the national championship game? Any profound changes that Nick Saban made? What's going on there?
Well, 7 new coaches, which makes 13 in 2 years at Alabama. They lose a lot of talent to the point that I know they'll be favored in the SEC again, but who's going to be the preseason number one? And you raise a good point. This wasn't just a championship game loss. This was the worst loss of Nick Saban's career at Alabama and the worst in his career since 2005. He lost 31-0 to Alabama when he was at LSU, or 2004, I think. What are the implications of that? That was a 4-touchdown beatdown. And earlier in the year, I wrote about it earlier in the year, he actually used the term rebuild. Now, that sounds silly for, a school that's won 5 championships in 2009, but I think that's a question. They were very inexperienced in the back end defensively. They lose a bunch of running backs. Now they still have some of the best in the country. And Tua was runner-up or third place or whatever he was for the Heisman. But Nick said this week he challenged Tua to get better. He kind of called Tua out. You know, don't rest on your laurels. You have to get better. So it remains to be seen. I think that's one of the key talking points going into 2019. What is the hangover, if any, from 44-16?
Dennis, always great to speak to you. Enjoy the panhandle, and we'll talk to you down the line.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All right, Dennis Dodd from CBSSports.com.